we're about to enter into your word. Father, I ask this morning that your lips touch my lips with the right words for your people to receive and understand. Father, I thank you so much. Oh, I thank you so much for giving confirmation and speaking directly to me through your maidservant. Father, may I do what I have, what you've laid on my heart, to share in honor and respect of you, and to bring you all the treasures of glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Paula, I sure thank you for allowing the Lord to speak through you. I was still mesmerized on how the Lord has been making the books, the understanding of the epistles, come alive. 1 John has never been more alive in my life. The book of James has never been more alive. Now the book of Hebrews has really come alive. Well, matter of fact, that last light of glory, and thank God, only God could give the understanding of that book. And when I saw it, it just brought it all together this last Wednesday night. Cleared up many mysteries for me. How many of you have been here on Wednesday night for the book of Hebrews? Has it done you service? It's powerful. Praise God. I just wish that the whole church could get a hold of that book. I had a divine vision given to me on that book, in that chapter, chapter 12. And in that divine vision, that was the heart of the fathers to bring that revelation forth. Hallelujah. When I got that last bit, it just put the whole Bible, so many passages in perspective. It's incredible. But you know, church history is not all that clear till the Holy Spirit shows it to you. Amen. Well, this last weekend, I had two major mysteries solved. And you know, I've learned to be patient with the Lord about some questions in the Bible. It's really interesting, you know, I was sharing with one brother, you know, the mystery that I was looking for out of certain passages. And it really amused me how he looked at me and says, "Oh, I understand that." And I says, "You do?" And he says, "Yeah." And I said, well, it break that mystery to me. And when he shared it to me, I went, "I don't think that's it." You know how many of you ever get this click in you when you know something's brought together complete? Remember last Wednesday night on the book of Hebrews how I brought that? Did you guys get a click in that? It's amazing. It's amazing. And there's just something that when you know it's God, it goes click. And the thing about it is, not only is the mystery broken, but all the puzzlement of so many other passages are all made clear. It's incredible. But one of the things that I always sought God for is, why were the apostles so vehement about the return of the Lord during their time period? Have any of you ever wondered that? Is it when you read Scripture, it just says, you know, stand fast and watch therefore and pray, because you don't know when the Lord's coming back. And as you read all these Scriptures, it gives you the idea that they, in their time period, was expecting the day of the Lord any day. You know? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Well, you know, Sue and I, we went up to Montana and we started fellowshipping with a bunch of other ministers. And one of them made the comment that he didn't believe in the return of the Lord anymore for the catching away of the church, the rapture. And something in me went, meep, you know, get, buh. You know, And so as we progressed along in our fellowship, this particular person got up to preach, and wisdom flew out of my wife's mouth. Just flowed like a river. But you know something? When wisdom comes out of a person, the Holy Spirit will snatch that for you. Has anybody ever said something to you? You were looking for an answer or something or direction or something, and something came out of somebody's mouth and you went, whew. Well, I caught a hold of that, but I didn't know why. But it kept coming out of her. And she says, you know, she says, if you really don't understand the catching away or the rapture of the church or understand how things are going to end, it has so much to do with what you believe.
Yep. Amen.
Remember you saying that to me, Sue? And Sue mentioned it again the other day. She was emphatic on that. And I got to thinking, you know, she's right. Yeah, because I didn't look at it so precise like that, like she did. But she was telling us that if you don't really believe in the outcome of something, that has so much bearing on what you believe presently.
Yes.
Have you ever heard this statement? Well, I don't care how it ends up. I just know it'll all pan out. You know what I call that? Garbage. Out of a person's mouth. You know, God uses such wonderful things to break a mystery. Well, first of all, turn over to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. We're going to learn something fresh. You know something? My little sister gave a tongue that she does so well. The thing is, I have to be supernaturally anointed to understand that language, and I got it today. In Matthew 24, Jesus is walking with his apostles, and they do not know of the church age yet. Jesus had mentioned the church age in a few of his statements, but the apostles that walked with Jesus didn't understand the dispensation of the Gentile. And so they asked Jesus three questions. When will the fall of Jerusalem be? And when will be the end of the age? And what will be the second advent? They didn't know anything about a rapture. Because they didn't really understand the church age. Peter was the first of all the apostles to get a glimpse at the entrance of the Gentile into the kingdom of God. But he had to be shown supernaturally by the Father so that he would go to Cornelius' household and bring them Gentiles into the kingdom. But up until that time, they didn't understand the church age. They didn't understand the grafting in of all nations because they didn't understand the Abrahamic covenant. But yet they bragged on the fact that Abraham was their father. But here in Matthew 24, it's very interesting. We don't have time to get into this. But when Jesus began to answer these questions, you'll find a little word that keeps cropping up in the Bible. Now, I am convinced that every pastor needs to know something about the Greek language. I'm not saying you need to as laity, but I believe all leaders of men that are responsible for shepherding or pastoring, teachers, prophets, I do believe wholeheartedly that they should understand the tongue in which the Bible was originally written in. I think we need to be a cut above the average because we give words by which it steers you into the wisdom of God. Amen. One thing I've learned very carefully, that when you read the Word of God, you have to read it in letter form, not chapters and verses. chapter and verses are good for learning purposes or for location. Thank God for chapters and verses, because you can find something. But when you read it in letter form, you've got to be careful that the chapters and the verses fit together the right theme. And one of the ways that I picked up Matthew 24 was very interesting. I caught it in verse 9 of 24 when he says, well, in verse 8, all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and in the Greek it's a word, tribulation. So Jesus had mentioned, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, he mentioned from verse 4 to verse 8, basically giving a rough synopsis of what the time, the signs of the times that were going to be present just before tribulation. And so he gives us a brief synopsis of that. And I'm not going to go into that, because today I want to share with you a mystery that had been broken. Why is it that the apostles were so bent on the fact of the coming of the Lord in their daytime, and yet would turn around and use the statement, the last of the last days? Have you ever wondered that? They made it very clear in several passages when they were teaching, like Timothy, in the last of the last days. You know, in the book of Timothy. And you find it in Peter, the last of the last days. But yet, it seemed like they were saying, every day expect the return of the Lord. Why were they that way? Well, it's very, very interesting. It dawned on me why they were making those statements. You know the word coming of the Lord? You know how you have to translate that word? You have to translate it in the text in which it's put in. Very interesting. I'm going to give you an example. Maybe some of you ladies wouldn't understand this, but some men would. Especially you outdoorsmen. I had two rifles at home that I had to put scopes on, getting close to hunting. I don't go out there to shoot the critters as much as partake of the fellowship. You all know that by now. I don't have any trophies on my wall, if you know what I mean. And so, in my garage, I have a rest. I put my rifles in. When you put the scope on it, the scope is a round tube that sits on top of a rifle, and it has what you call crosshairs in it. You know, like this. Well, needless to say, there are some hunters that are not really educated in sighting a gun in. So what they'll do is they'll buy up 10 boxes of ammo, which costs about a little over $100. They'll go out and they'll kill the rifle range by shooting a bunch of ammo down and try to adjust their sights so that they finally hit the target. And then they don't do that good of a job. I have a method by which I go by so that when I get out on the rifle range, I only need two or three bullets and I'm on target. Well, I put these rifles and put the scope on and make sure they're secured. Then I have what you call a bore sight. And it's another little scope that fits on the end of your barrel. And so you put it on the end of your barrel, the tube of it goes down in the barrel, and you turn this little thing and it tightens it, and it's on the end of your barrel, and you have to look through your scope and you'll see your scope sights like this, and you'll see the bore sighter has crosshairs on it too, but they might be like this and down a little. So what you have to do is you have to take the bore sighter and you have to keep turning it until it lines right up with your scope sights. But your scope hairs might be off from those hairs. And so you have to take these little caps off of your scope and you have to sit there and you have to adjust them right or left, up or down until your crosshairs match the crosshairs in this what we call a bore scope. How many of you are following what I'm saying? so that you have crosshair meeting crosshair. That is when your scope is lined up with your barrel. So that when you get out on the rifle range and you put a bullet in your rifle, you put it in the gun, and you pull the trigger, and the bullet should be pretty close to where you're pointing the crosshairs. And if it isn't, all you have to do is adjust just a little bit, but it'll be very close. The Lord spoke to me. I said, Lord, why is it that it seemed that the apostles out of Scripture always had this thought that you could appear at any moment? And so you know what I did? I went back and looked at the verses. Watch therefore that you be not caught off guard. Watch and pray. Be alert. Look up at His return. You follow on all those Scriptures? There's one over in 1 John 2:28. Watch. Turn over there. Let's turn over there real quick, like. And we'll go back to Matthew here. We're going to have a good time in the Word this morning, and we won't be real long. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Can I hear an amen?
Amen?
Now, would you not agree with me that this passage is literally saying that you need to be in a place so that when He appears, you won't be ashamed in His presence? Because the word there for coming is the word parousia, which literally means to be with you. And in the text there, He's saying, so that when He comes to be with you, you won't be ashamed. Why? Because as He is there, we were on this planet. So the coming here is literally referring to the Lord coming back for His church. Can I hear an amen? You know, I often wondered for a long time, how were the disciples so confused as to the return of the Lord? Because in their day, it seemed to bring it up and then go and said, in the last of the last days. I brought out the illustration of the scope. Did you know that from that point on, when that scope is set for the target, anything you put them crosshairs on, it's game. Game in the pot. In my case, I have killed tremendous paper targets. Masses of them. But no animals. I shot an animal once and about tore my guts out. I was repenting and everything else. It's hard. So I decided, my hunting is fellowship. Anyway, do you know that every time you go to pull the trigger on one of my rifles, it'll always make the mark? Why? Because I know now how to focus in and keep focused. Do you guys got that? So every bit of ammunition I put through that gun is going to make its mark. And every once in a while, maybe test to make sure it stays on course if the bullets start getting a little off. Just adjust it back. But do you know what motivates accuracy on the range? Your sights in alignment. Do you know that the apostles in their time period were not talking about the moment of His return? They were talking about what was driving them to be what they should be in case He does return.
Yes.
Matthew 24 again. Matthew 24. He goes through Matthew 24 in chronological perfect order. Because the word then in the Greek means tote. It means concurrent events, sequels to follow. So if He says, and then, and He says something, And then he says something, it means he's speaking in concurrent events, chronological order. Verse 9, and then. Verse 10, and then. Verse 14, and then. Verse 16, then. Verse 21, and then. Verse 23, then. Verse 30, and then, twice. And then we go right down to verse 40, then. Then he goes off into a little story. Well, when we see then linking this whole book, this whole chapter all together, it means that Jesus was speaking in chronological order. Perfect concurrent succession. Now, when we get down to verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth cometh. Stop. He said hour. He didn't say day or year. He said hour. But he does say day or hour. Never year. Why? Because he's speaking in chronological order, and he's telling his disciples that the position of the nation of Israel in tribulation is going to be like this. Are you following me? Has nothing to do with the church age. Matter of fact, the verse in there, and this gospel shall be preached until he comes. And the gospel that's going to be preached during tribulation is not the gospel we preach today. It is the gospel of the year of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, second advent. When he literally comes back to the earth and stops the mess that the earth has gotten into, stops it all. And removes all the unbelievers and keeps the believers intact. The two in the field, one grinding in the middle. Talking about the circumference here. Those who are awake, those that are sleeping, those that are working. And if you go over to Proverbs 10:30, write that down, Proverbs 10:30. It says, the righteous shall never be removed from planet earth, but the wicked shall be removed forever. And he's talking about at the second advent when he comes, all the unbelievers will be removed, and all the believers will remain. Glory to God. That's not referring to a rapture there. But notice what he goes on to say. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, notice what he would do. He would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his good. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servant, and to eat and drink with the drunken. And the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him with a portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnawing of teeth. And notice verse 1 of 25, and then. Then. Very interesting, isn't it? Why would Jesus give that little parable there? Throw it in there. Because what was driving the apostles to stay on course? What was thrusting them to stay on course? Either they were going to be in the presence of the Lord or He was going to return in time for it. It didn't make no difference to them. They kept focused that He could come, even in their daytime. But in that focus, they were intent on being together, being away from the Lord, together being found in Him and in His image. But Jesus said, when a person has no respect for the probability of any return, he gets loose in his fear with God. He's a loosey-goose, and he thinks he's got all the time in the world. But that is the person whose mentality is not prepared when he does return. You know, Dean got me fired up. He said, all of heaven is gearing up now for the second, for the rapture. All of heaven's geared up for it. That's why he just didn't even care to come back, because he was right there where the action's beginning. And an unfaithful servant, he's sitting back and he can act any way he wants to, because he has no fear of any of the return of the Lord. And the apostles would not allow them to get in that attitude. They didn't want to be found complacent and indifferent. They wanted to be on the cutting edge so that when he does appear, they're not ashamed at his appearing. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You know what qualifies you to be in His presence at His coming? Are you ready? Here's what qualifies you. To be born again. That's it. Oh, but what about those that are not watching and not observing? They could miss the rapture. They won't miss the rapture. What about a brother who would be ashamed at his appearing? Kind of indicates that he didn't miss it, but he had something to be ashamed of. Are you guys with me today? Then what's going to cause us to go in the rapture if we're irresponsible and unfaithful servants? Number one, that you have been a child of His that has been disapproved, but you're still His child. The rapture is not predicated on works. The rapture is predicated on the scale system being balanced against God for those coming into the kingdom. That's all. And if you're a born-again child of God and you're a loose goose, an evil worker, if you haven't gone to one extreme to deny Him through your works, guess what? You're going to go anyway. Because the rapture of the church is not predicated on an earning it. It's predicated on sonship or son placing. That's all. Now the details of your life will be worked out there. And it says some of them that are going to be worked out there are going to be saved with no works. They're all gone. But you're going to have to stand accountable to how you was here as a servant. Well, what about this part where it says weeping and gnawing of teeth? And he shall cut him asunder and appoint him with his portion. With the hypocrites, semicolon, and there shall be weeping and gnawing of teeth. The first half is those who will be dealt with for their hypocrisy, and the second half are those who have literally, what? Lost out altogether at His return. Who are the ones that lost out altogether at His return? The wicked that is taken away. Because weeping and wailing of teeth is where hell is found. Now, not the lake of fire, but that place of torment until the great white throne judgment. But it's hell nevertheless. Now, is this getting interesting with you? Turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, There's a verse here that's very interesting. Let's go to verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Isn't that interesting? Well, what is this hope that he's talking about? I'll tell you what it is. It says it right here. We wait for our glorified body. That's what we're waiting for, is our glorified body. That is the blessed hope. Even creation is waiting for us to appear in the clouds with the sun. Why? Because the curse will be removed from the earth that they're in. And the manifestation of the sons of God is the second advent, not the rapture of the church. It's when the church comes back with Christ to relieve creation from its suffering. Why? So the blessed hope that we have is our glorified body. We want to get rid of this body and get a brand new puppy slid on us. And God's got our resurrected glorified body where it has been taken and reserved with its DNA from our conception. What happens if the hydrogen bomb would land right on top of my head? I wouldn't have nothing to resurrect. I'd be smoke. But that doesn't stop God from me getting a glorified body. Why? He's got my DNA recording in heaven. That body's right there waiting for me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some people believe in soul sleeping till the great white throne. I don't believe in soul sleep. I believe the minute this body lays down, I'm in the presence of the Lord, because there's no reason for me to soul sleep. Deacon didn't see any believers going up there and hitting their chest and dust coming out from laying in the grave all these years. Kind of dusty down there. Well, what do you do with a believer that doesn't have a body to soul sleep with? Well, he was in the middle of Hiroshima. He was right where the bomb went. How's his soul going to sleep? No, the minute you lay that body down, that spirit man goes someplace. Amen. It's still much alive. It goes back to the judgment of God. Are you following me? So, he says here, one of the hopes we have is our glorified body. So he's going to come back for the church. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. I love this chapter. And go to verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible, having put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Talking about a glorified body that's going to come. But Paul, notice what he said, behold, I show you a mystery. We'll not all die. We'll not all die. So he's saying that there's going to come a time when a portion of the church will not experience death. And why will it not experience death? I'm sure glad you asked that question. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians. You know what? I'm learning so faithfully to be so patient at not being patient about the Lord's return. You want me to say that again? I'm learning to be patient about being not patient about the Lord's return. Did you guys get that? That means stay in an attitude that He could show up at any moment, because I believe we are in the last of the last day. I don't care what they said back then. This is the last of the last days, because the signs of the times are here, baby. And if you can't see that, it's like Jesus said, you religious nuts, you can discern the seasons by the sky, but yet you can't understand the season. That's amazing to me. That's amazing to me. In 2 Thessalonians, I want to go to chapter 2. And 2 Thessalonians is an answer to 1 Thessalonians. He tells them in 1 Thessalonians, hey, there's going to come a time when the Lord's going to come down and get you guys. Isn't that neat? Going to get you critters. Then 2 Thessalonians, they start screaming out, we missed tribulation. We missed it. Why? Somebody in the church started spreading a rumor that it's past. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Actually, in the original tongue, it's deparne, it's departure. Our translators changed the words. And that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Here is verse 7, the big mystery verse. What is the one holding back tribulation from coming in? And the man of sin being revealed. Who's holding all this back? Well, if you will hold your place there, and if you will go to Matthew chapter 16... it might dawn on many of us this morning that you need to get a revelation of what dispensation or administration you're working in. He says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, and when Jesus came to the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now I want you to follow me real close here. This is where we get our shouting clothes on. Who is the one that's holding back here in 2 Thessalonians 2:7? For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Who is the one who will let until he be taken out of the way? Who is the one? And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of hell, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of the heavens. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be wrong, will already have been bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth has already been loosed in heaven. What is he saying? He's saying, when I have invested my authority back into the church, the system, the God of this world and its system cannot prevail against it as long as I have this administration intact in my believers. Amen. And when they use my word and they speak it, it's already paid for in heaven because I bought it for them. Whatever is loose, it'll get loose. Whatever needs binding, I'll bind it. I'll work with you. You have the authority. Keys unlocks the authority. There's where the revelation comes. He has to remove the church so to let tribulation come in, because the gates of hell cannot challenge the church in its present administration. Glory! Well, I don't know whether I'm going to make it. All I got to say for you, why are you troubled like that? You know what it says about love? So many Christians fear. They fear about everything. A little bit of tribulation comes away and they freak out. You want to know why? Because they have been made perfect in love. When you're made perfect in love, it removes all fear. I got people in my body here. You fear what somebody else might do to you. I got a fear. Where did that come from? You know, you'll stop fearing when people stop frightening you. When the Word of God establishes your heart. Glory to God. Then you won't fear.
Well, I'll tell you, they spoke to me wrongly. I'm out of here.
Goodbye.
When you have no idea what I've been going through.
Yeah, I do. I do know what you've been going through. You've been trying to take the test and trial by fear, and it don't work. I like what Casey Treat said years ago. Never forgot. He said, fear is a paper brick wall. It's up to you to just reach out and in the disguise of a brick wall, punch it through. Walk through that sucker. It's just like paper. Why? Because the gates of hell cannot prevail against you. You got to get a revelation of it. That's why you can't hang around so tribulation could come in. Why? Jesus has not removed His conquering authority over His church for some antichrist to sit up on a throne and take position. Now, I'm going to go one more Sunday on this, and I'm going to end it. Remember, I'm trying to make one-shot sermons. But I'm going to go one more Sunday, and I'm going to show you the promise of God that tribulation will come, and you will be exempt from it, and the reason why. Amen. You know, this man, I prophesied over him, his anointing is going to double. To some of you, you're not aware of, his Sunday school class is packed out up there. Out of room, because a lot of you are starting to get it. Amen. Getting revelation. I've heard some of you come back and say, My Lord, I didn't know that. Yeah, the Lord spoke to me and said, go to a Sunday school program. These people are paying money for this Bible school. They're paying money and they'll not get half of it. You get a good Sunday school program going, get under an anointed teacher, and he'll keep driving that point home until you get it. Every one of us should be up there lying on the walls. Why? Because it isn't John Cook that's running the show. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. This church does not belong to Jan Butler. It belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. When I quit seeking the righteousness of God, quit praying, quit seeking for insight in the Word of God, then you can come against the church. But until you do, you better watch about coming against this church, because you're not coming against me. You're coming against the Lord Jesus Christ. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Sometimes I walk in so much grace, some of you needed an axe. When I was trying to use these little nail clipper things on you. You can't even prune somebody with them. No, with chainsaw is too bloody. I guarantee you, in our generation, I believe He's coming.
Amen.
I do.
Hallelujah.
I believe He's coming. Dean Braxton, is he here?
Yeah.
Dean, do you believe He's coming in our generation? Didn't you seem to kind of indicate that? See, Dean, he's black and white. Well, he is black and I am white, but he's black and white. But once you've been there and you've seen what he's seen, you'll never take that away from him. That's like Paul. Once he'd been there and taught personally the Lord and come back here in that conference, them Judaizers came in and tried to convince him of how to incorporate the law with Christ. Paul said, didn't he add to me not even, I didn't even give him 1 hour to speak. Well, if Jesus taught you personally, how are you going to let somebody else come and say, well, the Lord Jesus could be wrong? That's how insane the religious mind is. And none of these apostles knew the Lord. Peter had a glimpse that maybe Paul does know what he's talking about, because he was publicly rebuked by Paul. Because Peter had some kind of insight. Yeah, the Gentiles are connected in this. But the other apostles, none of them, they were Judaizers. See, I never saw that before. They were Judaizers. They were incorporating the law and Christ at the same time. All the other apostles were doing that. And James is the one who sent Peter down there to the province of Galatia, because all these Christians are on fire. He goes down there and finds Peter pulling hypocrisy on the Gentile, compelling them to live as a Jew. Judaism. Now, what will stop somebody from going in the rapture? That's what we're going to preach the next Sunday on this issue. How do we know whether we're going to make it or not? Thank you for asking that question. Is cars going to be floating around and running around all over and planes falling out of the sky because we had believing pilots? What about all these little signs in the heavens? There's creatures from other planets invading us. Oh, Jesus forgot all about that. He should have told us that there would have been signs increasing in the heavens towards His return. Oh, what, didn't He say that? He did say that. Didn't he? He said that the signs in the heavens will increase. If you don't believe me, don't go to your Bible, go to the History Channel. People, you have no idea, until you get into John Cook's class, you have no idea how blessed you are. Is that right to say that? Because that ain't John Cook. It is not John Cook teaching you. It's the Holy Ghost through him teaching you. Now, if you have a problem with the one that the Holy Ghost is using, that's your problem. But the Holy Ghost in him is not a problem with God. Stand up, everybody. The Lord told me that the prophetic ministry, the anointing for the prophetic ministry, has not really been released because of the ignorance of His Word on end time things. He said the more that people get a revelation or understanding of His end times things, He says more will the prophetic anointing be there to assist the pastors in this end time. We haven't seen the genuine yet. We've seen the soup kitchens, soup nuts, and all that. But there's going to come a time when a true prophet will stand up and the whole body will follow. We lost one really good true prophet. His name was Dad Hagen, Kenneth Hagen, Sr. He was a true prophet. But when the major body of Christ functioning today rejected him in his warning about money, I do believe that released him to go on home to be with the Lord. But there would be prophets arise. Mark my word, there will be prophets that will arise, and they'll arise out of the Word of God. Not an emotional, weirdo move of some kind. They'll come up out of the Word. They'll come up out of the Word. They'll come up out of the Word. Boy, I'll tell you what, the last 2 years of my life, I've never seen revelation come forward in the Word like I have in my life. Never. Never have I seen the mystery broken. In this mystery here, why did they believe that the return was during their time period, and yet use the term the last to the last day? Because they were saying the Spirit that keeps you moving in the right direction is the blessed hope of His return. And are you following me? That will keep you focused, and all other things will come in balance to that. There's your mystery. You believe that? Father, I thank You for the Word of God this morning. As my people stand, ho ho, ishike, yes Lord, yes Lord, okay, handarishi, yes Lord, yes Lord. He said to interpret that tongue that I heard. My people, I have made clear My divine purpose. I made it so clear in My Word. I have made it clear in My Word, My divine purpose, My divine direction, My divine appointment for your life. You are on a destiny of divine and complete success if you stay on course with My Word and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, saith the Spirit of grace. It is My Spirit that will come back into the full influence of the church. It is My Spirit that will take you into the presence of Me, saith the Lord. It is My Spirit. Stay intact with My Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then, of course, the last of that interpretation where My name was mentioned is He told me, never to doubt a mystery that comes forth. And He said My name personally. Jan, you keep what I give you as your driving force.
Yes. Yes, that's it. Hallelujah.
That's what she prophesied at the end.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're headed for the greatest time of our lives. We're headed for the greatest time of our lives. But you got to see Him out there about ready to return for that fervency to get back in you. You got to get out of your little cares and woes and me's. And you got to get into, oh, where do I go and what do I see? Hallelujah. I got to move forward. I got to move forward. I got to move forward with God. Hallelujah. Whatever He wants. This, I'll finish it the next Sunday. Okay? Okay. With every head bowed. Father, I thank You for Your wonderful people this morning. And Father, we want to lead them into the kingdom of God. We want to see them come on in. And if you've never said the sinner's prayer and come into the kingdom, I want you to feel free right now to step out and come up here. Anybody? 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 Hallelujah. If you've never been baptized with the Holy Ghost, let us lay hands on you and pray for you. We want to pray for you. If you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, we want to pray for you with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Don't resist the baptism. Hallelujah. That is so important, to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. That is the doorway or the entrance. Once you receive that baptism of the Holy Ghost, you'll feel a change in you. You'll feel a fire reignite in you. You might have been losing. Hallelujah. So don't resist that, and don't be ashamed to resist that. And if you're here this morning, and you want us to pray for you to be back in the full fellowship of the Lord where you want to be, we want to do that. So with that mentioned, everyone that I mentioned, I want you to step out and come on up here. Anybody? Hallelujah. Feel free to come up here. Anybody do it? Hallelujah. Don't hesitate. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Right here, my friend. Hallelujah. Anybody else would like to join our brother? Don't hesitate. Come right up here, sweetheart. Hallelujah. We'll even pray for your arm. Anybody else would like to join these two? Don't hesitate. Come on up. Praise God. Don't hesitate. You know, the saddest story I ever heard was Dave Roberson's son actually being instrumental in leading one of his friends to the Lord while he was still out there in the world. And his friend came into the sinner's prayer, got saved, and then went back into the world and into drugs and died. And Dave had that vision of him going into hell. I'm going to tell you, being right before the kingdom of God is very important business. Don't hesitate. This world is too unsure. Come into the kingdom this morning if you've never made Jesus your Savior. Anybody else? Okay, we're going to pray for these two, and then we got some altar workers, ministers to go with them. Father, I thank you for these two precious ones that have come forward. And as they go with the personal altar ministers, Father, may every question they have be answered. And Father, I also lay hands on her, and I command this shoulder or arm or whatever it is to be healed up quickly in the name of Jesus. Ooh, there's the anointing of God right there. Hallelujah. Hold her, you guys. Oh, hallelujah. You're getting the healing there, sweetheart. All heaven come down on you. You'd be alive. Yeah. Okay, just go with the workers with you. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Mr. Brame? Mr. Brame, I have a word for you from the Lord. I have a word for you from the Lord. We'll be closing in just a minute. You can come to service late tonight. I have a word for you from the Lord. Hallelujah. My son, I say unto thee, I know what you've gone through, and I know how your heart has torn and wrenched. I know the pressure and the affliction that has been put on you and your wonderful wife physically. I know mentally and physically that it's to break you down. But my son, today I want to encourage you for all that you've gone through. When you cross over into that divine blessing, that divine place of victory in your life, you'll look back and you'll say, thank God I didn't miss it with you, Heavenly Father. And I say unto thee this day, you rejoice, for your outcome shall be glorious and great in the name of the Lord. For you have chosen the right thing to do in all that you've been through. And the Lord my God will not be slack at rewarding you for your steadfastness with him, saith the Lord. Ooh, Kotasha. Do you receive that? Amen and amen. Oh, hallelujah. 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 I could keep going right now. I'm starting to feel that move of the Holy Ghost here. But we're going to start having more of the power of God working better than ever before. But I want to warn you, people, the Lord has really been impressing upon my heart. Whatever you do, get financially freed. Get financially free as quick as you can. Get financially free as quick as you can. There's going to be a shift in our economy, and a lot of it will have to do with the elections. So get financially free if you can, and invest in the kingdom of God. Put your investment, do the kingdom there for your protection, saith the Lord. And with that said, you're dismissed. Oh, Dennis. Hold it, guys. Wait a minute. We're going to send Daniel. We're going to send out Dennis. Did I say Dennis? Yeah. Come on up here, Daniel. The whole family's here? Okay. Okay, and your little brother's going out too? Is he here? Well, come on up here. We can ship you out too. Now, you guys are going in the army?
Yeah.
Are you going in the army too? They're going to go in the army. So let's lay hands on them. Oh man, I believe it's going to be good. It's going to be a good venture. And let's all pray for them, the whole body. You guys ready? Father, I thank you for these young men that are answering the call, Father, to fight for the freedom and liberty that's done us. Father, I am ashamed at some of our congressmen not giving honor to these young men that choose to die for their country. And Father, these two here, I know that you'll preserve and protect them. They'll serve their country well and return home with a cheerful heart. This is the anointing we place upon both of them. And everybody said,
amen,
amen and amen. Praise God. Bye, you guys. You're welcome. Thanks, Daniel. Bye, you guys. Hallelujah. Take care of them, Dennis. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Ted, for jumping out there. I'd hate to have missed that. You guys ready to go? Okay, you're not ready to go. Good. That makes me feel good. I have some things I'm going to be sharing with you. A direction the church has showed me, the Lord has shown me about our church. It's awesome. And so I'm going to share it with you guys. So in the meantime, with that said, you guys are dismissed.